What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time to turn off the lights and turn on the dark.
Chilling tales for dark nights.
Good evening, listeners, and welcome back to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights. I'm your host, Steve Taylor, and tonight, we're turning back the clock. Before there were playlists, before the podcasts, before we reached your ears on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, there were the originals, the stories that built this house of horror from the ground up. Tonight, the lights go out, and the past comes alive. Two tales from the early days of the Chilling Tales archives return to remind us that the dark never really leaves. It just waits for us to look away. We'll begin with a cautionary tale about guilt, regret, and the price of turning a blind eye, followed by a motel stay that never truly ends. But first, let's take care of a little business before the dark takes care of us. The Evil Idol 2025 voice acting competition is still raging on. And if you haven't been following along, you're missing out on one of the most talent-packed seasons in Chilling Tales history. Every night, a new performance drops on our YouTube channel, and it's you who decides who moves forward. Round one is nearing its end, and round two begins in November, so don't miss your chance to help us crown this year's Master of Mayhem. Head over to YouTube, find Chilling Tales for Dark Nights, and hit that subscribe button and bell icon to stay current on all of our contests, shows, and original productions. If you're joining us tonight on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you get your scares, be sure to follow us there too, and take a moment to leave a 5-star rating or a short review. It helps others discover the show, and maybe, just maybe, keeps the monsters fed. And if you crave more, ad-free episodes, early access, and exclusive stories you won't find anywhere else, join our patrons area at ChillingTalesForDarkNights.com. Memberships start at $7.99 a month, or even less when billed annually. And every member helps us keep the lights on. Well, except tonight. Lastly, make sure you're following us across Facebook, Instagram, X, and TikTok for daily updates, behind-the-scenes content, and some quick hits of horror between full episodes. Now then, turn the lights out, lock the doors, and pour yourself something strong. Our first story tonight comes from deep within the archives. Our first tale tonight appeared way back in 2013, a time when Chilling Tales for Dark Nights was still finding its voice and introducing the world to nightmares it would never forget. From author Adam Kearney, this story examines guilt, disbelief, and the haunting persistence of the things we refuse to face. Performed for you by Jeff Clement. This one will make you think twice before you answer that knock at your door. From the archives of Chilling Tales for Dark Nights, I present to you, I Saw It Coming.
This isn't a confession. We can't prove a damn thing. So don't even try. I'll deny it to my grave. I'm on my third drink for the evening anyways. You can't trust the word of a drunken man. That's when I start to feel anything these days. The third drink. Sometimes it takes four, but usually three will do. It's the same cycle every night for weeks now. I drink, then I start to feel. And the fear comes over me. And then I drink some more until I pass out. Wake up, slog through the day, keep my head down, keep my chin up. Don't draw anyone's attention. Go home, repeat. One night a few weeks back, there was a man at my door. I answered it, wondering what in the devil he was doing there at that time of night. I live in the end of my street, and there's no one around for quite a ways. Even the evangelicals that comb the neighborhood rarely make it all the way to my house.
"Help me,"
he gasped, his blood-flecked lips quivering in the rain. His forearm was badly broken, bits of bone sticking through the skin. He was pale and drenched, the rain and blood dripping steadily from his haggard frame, pooling on my porch beneath him.
"There's been an accident. I need help,"
he winced.
"Can you help me?"
I nodded, dumbly, shocked at his state, then ran inside looking for my cell phone. But by the time I got back to the door with it, he was gone. The only sign of him, a trail of splattered red, leading down from my front steps and out into the front yard. I stood there, shocked for a moment, and then I put the phone away, slammed the door, and locked it. I don't know why. I was just scared. Frightened by the whole affair. And some part of me, some damned selfish part of me, kept saying, "It's okay. It's someone else's problem. He's gone. Forget about it." So I poured myself a drink to ease my nerves. And then another. A few drinks later, I'd forgotten all about him. And a few drinks after that, I drunk myself to sleep. I woke up with my head throbbing. I'm not a heavy drinker. Well, used to not be one anyways. I stepped outside and noticed that there was no blood on my porch. I breathed a sigh of relief. Maybe the rain washed it all away, I thought. Or maybe it hadn't happened at all. I went to work, nursing my hangover. But I made it through the day. Came home, tried to relax. I'd slept poorly the night before, and my day took what energy I had left, so I decided early in the evening to call it a night. I was just about to go to bed when there was another knock at the door. I froze, looking over to it. My heart raced. I tried to laugh off my rising fear. It was just someone at the door. Nothing to be afraid of. But as my hand reached for the knob, I heard his voice. The same quaking shudder of a voice from the night before.
"Help. I need help."
I stood stone still as he pounded on the door.
"God.
he shouted.
Please, why won't you help me?
I put my back to the door, bracing it, squeezing my eyes shut. This isn't real, I thought. It can't be. And after a few seconds, the knocking stopped, and it was quiet. I flung open the door, but there was no one there. No trace of blood or sign of his presence. Unsettled, I shut the door, locked it, and reached for a bottle. And so it went, for 4 more days, each night the same. The knocking, the horrible man at my door, the cries for help. And each night I secured the door and waited until it stopped, and then drank myself into oblivion. By the 7th night, I'd had enough. I made a stiff drink as soon as I got home, and then another after that one. I had thought of nothing but the events of the previous week that day. So naturally I was anticipating the knocking when it came again that night, confirming my paranoid fears. I was waiting for it. I threw open the door on the first knock, and there he was, battered arm, hanging limp at his side, pale face twisted into a grimace. But before he could say anything, I leveled my shotgun at his face and pulled the trigger. His head popped like a blister, and I fired a second time, blowing his arm clean off and leaving a hole in his torso. Covered in his wet viscera, I shut the door. I want to say I was in a trance, that I was on autopilot and out of my head. But that's not true. I knew exactly what I was doing. I was trying to make a point to myself. See, I'm a level-headed man. I don't believe in ghosts or the supernatural or anything like that. We live in a rational world, and I damn well wasn't going to sit back and let my head play tricks on me without fighting back. They say blood is hard to wash off. It's not true. His blood washed right off of me. One shower later, and I was good as new. So when I finished cleaning up and calming down, and went back to the front door, I likewise expected there to be nothing there, as there had been no trace of him left from the previous nights. I couldn't believe it when I opened the door. His remains, slumped inside like a sack full of meat. I reached down and poked the corpse. It was solid. The porch was covered in blood and gore. Once more I panicked, and this time I did go into sort of a trance. The hours passed in a blur as I drug the body around the back of the house, dug out a shallow grave, cleaned off the porch as best I could, and took another shower. And then I made another drink. Tomorrow the knocking would come again, I was sure. I hadn't just killed a man and buried him in my backyard. When I got home the next evening, I sat and waited anxiously. Any moment the knock would come. The man would come again, be at my door, waiting for me, asking for help. Maybe tonight I'd laugh, invite him in, ask him if he wanted a drink, I thought, sipping my own drink nervously. The minutes stretched out, and it felt like I'd waited an eternity. When it finally came, the knocking. I breathed a sigh of relief as I rushed to the door. But it wasn't the man from the previous nights. It was the police. A car had gone off the road the night before. They wanted to know if I'd seen anyone. Maybe it was my drunken state that allowed me to lie so convincingly, but after telling them I knew nothing of it, they bade me a good evening and left. My pulse pounded in my head. This couldn't be happening, I thought. It wasn't real. The thoughts piled on one by one, and all I could do to quell them was keep drinking until I lost consciousness. I called in sick the next day. I checked my backyard, and sure enough, the grave I had dug was still there, still fresh. I dug him up, burned the body until it was ash. When I was done, I went back inside the house and numbly sat down. And since then, I can't feel anything. Not until I drink. Usually 3, sometimes 4. And it's only then that I start to feel it. The fear. See, I'm not afraid of ghosts. I don't believe in them. I've never believed in them. Probably in part because I was raised by my heavily superstitious mother. She made her living as a psychic, telling fortunes. She claimed that she had the sight, that she could see a person's fate before it happened. And she had a steady stream of gullible clients that kept a roof over our heads and food on our table. So I didn't make a big deal out of it. But like any kid, I rebelled against her and her beliefs. And when I left home, I found plenty of support for that rebellion. Psychics aren't real, right? No one can see the future, right? 'Cause now I'm afraid my mother wasn't faking it. That she really could see the fate of all those people who came to her. And I'm afraid. I'm so terribly damn afraid. That now I can see it too.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
That was I Saw It Coming by Adam Kearney. Performed by Jeff Clement. A grim reminder that sometimes the things we deny the loudest are the ones that refuse to stay buried. Whether it's guilt, ghosts, or the weight of our own choices, the past has a way of knocking again and again until someone finally answers. Now, if that didn't chill you enough, don't worry. Our second tale of terror takes us to a place where even checking out isn't an escape. Our next story also hails from the early days of the Chilling Tales Vault, another relic from 2013 that still knows how to freeze the blood. It's written by Maya Ellert, and it's the kind of story that reminds you why you should never pull back the curtain when something outside calls your name. Performed for you tonight by Alicia Pavlis. This one asks a simple question. What if the voice outside your window never stops calling your name? From the archives, I give you, I'm at your bedroom window.
A warning for my fellow travelers. If you ever have a layover in Philly overnight, don't spend the night at the Economy Motel. And if you absolutely must, just steer clear of room 103. I was heading south to visit family. Unfortunately, the only flight available included a 7-hour layover in Philadelphia. Not wanting to spend those hours huddled outside the airport, I rented the cheapest motel I could find and took the shuttle at about 11 p.m. The place was just about the shadiest looking motel I had ever seen. But it was a bed, right? I checked in, headed to my room. 103. Exhausted, I immediately collapsed on the bed. A bit lumpy, but not terrible. Not bothering to take my contacts out, I closed my eyes and let my thoughts wander. But I was yanked back to reality by a loud grumbling from my stomach. Right, the airline hadn't fed us. Annoyed, I dug around in my bag for one of those microwavable soup cups. I tossed it into the microwave, and as it rattled away, I noticed there was a piece of paper wedged underneath it. I yanked it out and unfolded it. There were two words hastily scribbled on it. Don't look. Whatever. I tossed it aside and retrieved my soup. Feeling lonely, I decided to hop online to see if anyone was on. I was in luck. My long-distance boyfriend just happened to be on Skype. So I called him up. We talked for a while, trying to keep our voices down. Eventually, though, he said something that made me laugh, and I heard a muffled curse come from upstairs. Feeling guilty, I said my goodnights and ended the call. But as I lay in the dark room, I noticed a thin stream of light from where the curtain didn't close completely. Annoyed, I got up to close it, and I was almost at the window when I heard it.
I can see into your bedroom.
The voice sent a chill up my spine. It was very quiet and high-pitched like a child's. And it was so soft, I wasn't even sure I hadn't just imagined it. I shook my head and reached for the curtain.
I know you can hear me. I'm at your bedroom window and I know you can hear me.
I jumped back as a shadow crossed the stream of light coming into my room. I definitely hadn't imagined it that time. There was a voice directly outside my door. Someone was out there, looking in. I jumped back into bed and pulled the covers right up to my chin.
I'm at your bedroom window. I know you can hear me. I can see in your bedroom. Are you listening to me? I know you can hear me. Come. Come and take a look. I'm at your bedroom window.
The taunting went on and on, rattling into my thoughts and leaving me paralyzed in fear. Suddenly, I heard the tenant upstairs moving around again. Footsteps stomped over to the door above, and I heard muffled shouts saying,
"Hey, shut up down there. This isn't funny. I am working 4 hours."
I breathed a sigh of relief and leaned back against the pillow, determined to get some sleep.
I'm still out here. Come look out your window.
I sat straight up, heart pounding in my ears. The voice was back. It whispered on and on, repeating its mantra over and over again. I put my hands over my ears and rocked back and forth, trying to block out the sound. But it was no use. The longer I sat there, the louder it got, until I couldn't hear anything else. It sounded like it was right next to me.
Are you listening to me?
Frantic, I picked up the phone and dialed the police. Stammering and stuttering in fright, I managed to give them the information of where I was and what was wrong. I asked them to please help. I was so scared. I didn't care if it was a prank at this point. My mind was reeling in terror. The officers assured me they'd be over shortly to see what the issue was. I thanked them and hung up the phone. But as soon as I did, silence descended over the room. It wasn't just that the voice had stopped. No. Utter silence filled the room. The air conditioner stopped. The street noises outside ceased. Even the faint hum of electricity from the TV and lights went away. It pressed on my ears with a tangible heaviness that sent shivers through me. Next to me, the phone rang. The caller ID told me it was the police station, calling me back. Cautiously, I picked it up and answered. Hello? I whispered. Growled the voice, and every light went out, plunging the entire room into complete and total darkness. In the dark, I fumbled for my bag. I might not have had a flashlight, but I did have my video camera, which had a weak light on it. Besides, I can't deny I wanted to film this, if only to prove I wasn't going insane. Finding it, I turned it on, casting a dim light over the room. Even with this light, the shadows still consumed the edges of my vision, making me jump at every perceived motion caught in the corner of my eye. Shaking, I forced myself to focus on the camera. Carefully, I stood up from the bed and walked toward where I thought the curtain was. The thin light from the camera only served to give a vague outline of the curtain and door, as though the darkness had swallowed the room and was even now working against the light from my camera. Carefully, I reached out and touched the curtain, pushing it closed all the way. Whatever was out there couldn't look in now. But then, I heard a loud clicking sound next to me, like a latch turning in the door. Panicked, I whipped around to look at the door. Inexplicably, it had opened on its own. The latching sound I had heard, however, was the door getting caught by the extra security lock. I could see nothing through the crack, just more inky blackness outside. I slammed the door shut again, double-checking the locks and latches. Everything was in place. I breathed a sigh of relief, and that's when I heard it. A sort of scuttling sound coming from the back of my room, somewhere in the direction of the bathroom. Cautiously, I moved slowly toward the noise, trying to keep my hands from shaking too badly. I knew whatever footage I got was going to be a mess of wobbly camera, but my videographer skills weren't exactly my top priority at that moment. I approached the source of the noise, but found nothing there, except for another piece of paper wedged partly behind a wall-length mirror next to the closet. I fumbled to open the folded-up scrap, trying not to tear it in my haste. When I finally got it open, there were only two words. Turn around. I was not about to do anything of the sort. Trembling, I slowly looked up at the mirror, while pointing my camera behind me at the same time. And to my horror, the light from the camera illuminated a faint silhouette of something behind me. All I could make out was a vague form, no taller than the height of the bed. And it was moving toward me. I broke out of my paralysis and dove into the bathroom, slamming the door behind me. Quietly sobbing, I leaned against the door and slowly slid down until I was sitting on the cracked tiles, the door firmly closed and locked behind me. Whatever it was scrabbled a bit at the bottom of the door. Then came the whisper.
Let me in. I'm out here in the dark.
Let me in.
Go away! I screamed. The voice stopped abruptly. I shivered and let out the breath I'd been holding in tightly. I still clung to my camera, unwilling to let go of the one thing that was keeping me tethered to reality. I sat there until the rays of early sunlight began peeking under the door, and I knew it was safe. Carefully, I cracked open the door and peeked around. The coast was clear. In a rush, I grabbed all of my luggage and raced out the door. The hotel manager looked at me kind of oddly, but I wasn't going back in that room. I spent the next hour in the lobby waiting for the shuttle. The flight to my aunt's house was short and uneventful. I spent the entire flight running over what had happened in my mind, over and over. Could it have been a prank? And who could have done that? It didn't matter. It was over. I was out of that insane place and on my way to meet family and friends. I tried to put the whole thing behind me and just enjoy the ride. You see, I've always loved flying. Watching the world fall away behind me is one of the most incredible feelings. The patterns beneath you, the rivers, ponds, winding roads spotted here and there with cottony clouds. This time, however, I just couldn't enjoy the scenery. I was too on edge from the previous night's events. The plane finally landed, and I just about ran to meet my aunt and cousins. Finally, I could start my vacation and get back to a normal state of mind. I hugged my aunt and little cousins so tight, just to be sure they were real. We all laughed and packed up the car with my luggage to head home. I didn't tell them about the motel. That night, my aunt made my favorite, pan-seared salmon, dripping with lemon and butter. Since she lived so close to the beach, it was fresh from that day's catch, and I don't think I've ever had anything so sweet and fresh. Sitting here with my family, I could almost laugh off the events of the night before. Almost. Silence descended upon the house as night fell upon us, bringing with it a thick fog. The little cousins toddled off to bed, yawning and rubbing their eyes. My aunt and I sat quietly in the living room, her reading, and me silently recalling the night before, over and over. Finally, exhausted, I got up and announced that I was heading to bed early. A bit surprised, my aunt wished me good night, and I headed to my room to collapse. Once alone, however, I felt unease creeping around me. The only lamp in the room was the bright overhead, too bright to sleep with. And with the fog as thick as it was, no light came in from outside. As if that weren't unsettling enough, at the foot of my bed was a large window. And there was no curtain, only a Venetian blind. I shivered and turned on my side so I couldn't see the window. And slowly, I fell into a fitful sleep. I woke sometime around 3 a.m. to an odd squeaking noise, like nails running across glass or tile. Confused, I sat up and looked around, blinking my eyes slowly adjusted to the darkness. Still, I could see nothing that could be making the noise. In fact, it seemed to be coming from somewhere outside. My heart rate quickened as I stood up and approached my bedroom window with apprehension. With shaking fingers, I reached for the pull to open the blinds. I yanked down with one swift tug and the blinds flew open. Nothing. In a rush, I let out the breath I'd been holding in. I had only imagined it. Or had I? As I glanced down, I noticed the long, slightly smudged mark near the bottom of the window, as though some grubby hand or paw had run along the glass, looking for a way in. I dropped the blinds and dashed back to bed, and pulled the covers right up over my head, desperate for some sleep. It seemed impossible that I'd ever get back to sleep after that. But eventually, I drifted off, dreaming of strange noises and small, scuttling creatures hiding just at the edge of my vision. I woke up in the late morning, head wreathed in fog from a restless night. My phone was buzzing next to me. Squinting, I glanced at it to see that I had 5 unread messages, all for my aunt. I shook my head, not wanting to bother at this moment, and fell back against my lumpy pillow. Wait. Something was wrong. My eyes flew open and I sat up. No. Even without glasses or contacts, I could tell I wasn't in my room at my aunt's. But no, I couldn't be. I wasn't, no. I was. I was back in the motel room from the night before. I tried to scream, but only a choked cry escaped my lips. I looked back at my phone. Every message from my aunt was a variation on "Where are you?" I ran to the door, threw it open, and dashed to the office. In a panic, I ran in and immediately started begging the manager for help. He looked up, startled, but not at me. At the door I'd just come through. "That door again, I thought I'd fix that damn thing," is what he said, without a single glance at me. He walked over and shoved the door closed, giving it an extra push with his shoulder. He hadn't even seen me. Later, I returned to room 103, numb and confused. As I sat on the bed, I heard the voice one last time.
"You're mine now,"
it taunted, but I didn't care. I couldn't even muster up enough emotion anymore. I've lost count the days I've spent here now. I don't think I'm dead, just not quite synced up with the rest of the world. These days, I'm the one leaving the notes, warning travelers not to look out their window. Most of them laugh when they see the scribblings, but I don't worry too much. It's the people that dwell too long on my message. They worry me. They're the ones that listen too closely to the voice in the window. They're the ones that might end up like me someday. There's a young couple staying here right now. I'm sitting outside, waiting for them to quiet down and go to sleep. I'm trying not to think of how life was before I ended up here. I mean, I've tried leaving, but I can't get past the parking lot entrance. The only knowledge I get from the outside world now is from my phone and the occasional news program I watch during what passes for a continental breakfast around here. I think the two inside have fallen asleep. Well, he has at least. I'm not worried about him. His girlfriend or fiance or whatever. I'm concerned for her. She's still up. Eyes darting around. I know she saw my note. She's definitely upset. She's a perfect target. Excuse me now. I'm gonna go and huddle in the closet with my hands over my ears, because the voice is going to start again soon.
"Come look. I'm at your bedroom window."
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
That was "I'm at Your Bedroom Window" by Maya Ellert, performed by Alicia Pavlis. A nightmare that began as a layover and ended as a lifetime. It's one of those tales that lingers, a perfect echo of the early Chilling Tales days when stories like this defined our name and set the tone for everything that came after. And speaking of those early days, if tonight's trip through the archives has left you wanting more, we've got something special for you. If you've never explored our YouTube archives, you're missing thousands of stories waiting in the dark, stretching all the way back to 2012. Head to our YouTube channel, sort by oldest, and start at the beginning. Or browse our year-based playlist to discover the forgotten nightmares that started it all. Whether you've been with us since the beginning or just found us tonight, there's a decade of horror waiting for you. And we promise the shadows never disappoint. While you're there, make sure you're subscribed and hit the bell icon so you don't miss new episodes, Evil Idol performances, and exclusive premieres. If you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other platform, please take a moment to leave us a review or a quick 5-star rating. It helps new listeners find us and keeps the darkness spreading. And don't forget, Evil Idol 2025 is still underway. Vote nightly on YouTube and help us crown the next voice of horror this November. Want the full experience? Ad-free, early, and exclusive? Join our patrons area at ChillingTalesForDarkNights.com. For as little as $7.99 a month or less with an annual subscription, it's the best way to support what we do and to help ensure the chills keep coming for years to come. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and TikTok for teasers, updates, and daily doses of dread. Until next time, listener, turn off the lights and turn on the dark. Sweet dreams, listeners. Sweet dreams.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
What do one of the world's top food cities, a nationally celebrated zoo and science museum, and a Condé Nast Traveler Top 10 Best Big City in the Country have in common? Yes, it's Columbus. This isn't just a stop on the map. It's where award-winning flavors, unforgettable family moments, and big city buzz come together. Let's be honest, Columbus is turning heads. For top-of-the-line discoveries in your own backyard, visit experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.